Hello and welcome to People in Profit. I'm Charles Pellegrin, and this week we look at what used to be Europe's economic powerhouse, now drained of its energy. Germany has seen two consecutive years of economic contraction, and this stagnation could very well continue for a third year. Its post-COVID recovery completely stunted by Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine and the energy crisis that followed, laying bare Berlin's deep dependence on Moscow's oil and gas. And now the arrival of the isolationist and protectionist Donald Trump at the United States is further muddying the prospects for growth. Well, this landscape of economic misery is the setting for the federal elections taking place this coming Sunday, with the conservative CDU expected to win the responsibility of forming a new government, while the far-right AfD will likely take on the role of official opposition. Well, to better understand how Germany went from economic hero to pariah and how it can dig itself out of this hole, we'll speak to Shaheen Vale, Senior Research Fellow at the German Council on Foreign Relations. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Well, let's start with the roots of the economic downturn in the country. Attacked by CDU leader Friedrich Merz about his economic record, Olaf Scholz, the current chancellor, defended himself by saying, "I didn't invade Ukraine." Is the energy crisis really the only reason for the economic downturn in Germany?
No, I don't think so. I think it's maybe one of the four reasons explaining Germany's economic slowdown. So, of course, the war in Ukraine, the surge in energy prices has affected quite a lot the energy-intensive sector in Germany, which, given its large industrial base, is an important part of the economy. But that's not the only reason. I think the second and maybe the most important is the growing competition for China. And growing competition in areas where Germany used to be a dominant exporter. And so that includes the auto sector, for instance, and the lack of innovation of the German auto sector, in particular in electric vehicles, where China is a very strong competitor. The third, I would argue, is sort of the slowdown in global trade, which is exacerbated by the new Trump administration and the prospect for new tariffs. I think that is going to hurt also the German economy. And fourth, and maybe least mentioned in the German debate, but ironically very clearly present in a recent update of the forecast that the German Bundesbank has made about Germany's economic potential, arguing that the economic potential of Germany has now gone down to a potential growth of only 0.4% per year, is the real demographic challenge that Germany is facing. The aging of the working age, the way the aging and the reduction of the working age population is proving to be an important drag on the economy. And this is quite ironic, because in the German political debate, you hear a lot of commitments, in particular from Friedrich Merz, to control immigration in the future, when in fact, Germany probably needs a lot more immigration if it wants to sustain its economic potential.
Merz of the CDU is running on a campaign to be the next chancellor, which is of cutting taxes and cutting government expenditure as a way to boost growth in order to revive the German economy. But we saw it in the past few weeks during the Munich Security Conference and talks between Russia and the U.S. Those have really driven home a new stark reality. The country and the whole continent is facing a huge need for investments in its own security, and not to mention the green transition or tech competitiveness, as outlined in the Draghi report. Is it possible to achieve those goals without accumulating more debt, or without supporting a joint borrowing at a European level, or loosening fiscal rules as advocated by EU Commission Chief Ursula von der Leyen, which seems to stand against the German conservative ethos?
I think it does stand against the German conservative ethos, but I would not underestimate the degree to which the German consensus on these issues has shifted, including very recently over the last few months, and in part as a result of this campaign. If you go back to the death of this coalition government, it really died because of fiscal policy, and it died because it was unable to basically meet the demands for greater investment. And the conflict between the FDP and the Greens on this was really central to the failure of this government. I think there is a realization even inside the CDU now that more investment is going to be needed, that as a result, European fiscal rules will have to be softened to some extent. And there's been a clear reference to that by President von der Leyen. Actually, this reference was endorsed by Defense Minister Pistorius, arguing that defense spending should be taken out of the deficit calculation as part of the implementation of the new rules. I think second, Germany will have to modify its constitutional debt brake. This is a big feat because this was for a long time a very strong point of consensus. But we at the GAP have conducted some polls recently showing that the majority of Germans is now in favor of reforming the constitutional debt brake, which, you know, just a few months ago seemed unthinkable. So I think that will happen and that will be necessary. The question is how big this change to the constitutional debt brake will be and how much fiscal space it will allow inside Germany. And three, you alluded to it. I think in order to boost European defense spending, there will need to be some level of common European borrowing or some recourse to the European budget.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room, so to speak. The real opposition in this election is the far right, AfD, Alternative for Germany. The party is campaigning on a very strong anti-immigration platform. But the country, and you mentioned it, with its aging population, is reliant on foreign workers to fill key roles in the workforce. Take a look at this report by our correspondents in Germany, Anne Maillet and Nick Holdsworth.
Chahinez Meselem has realized her dream to work in radiology in a German hospital. To obtain her visa, she took language courses in Algeria and had her qualifications recognized. The whole team at Stuttgart's biggest hospital is working hard to help her integrate.
The team was simply brilliant. They've been with me from the start and have listened to me very carefully. It's important for us, as foreigners, to be able to ask lots of questions when we arrive.
Nearly a quarter of the hospital's 9,000 employees are of foreign origin, a skilled workforce that is essential for providing care. Managers are worried about an anti-migrant climate spreading across the country.
My fear is that people will no longer feel welcome. And as they are highly qualified professionals with lots of opportunities, they will end up leaving the country. We need to integrate them well and preserve our welcoming culture.
But with the far-right party campaigning for a total halt to immigration and other parties promising to step up deportations, employers are worried. With its population in decline, Germany has to integrate nearly 300,000 foreign workers every year. From industry to hospitality, all sectors are affected. In this family-run hotel, half the staff are of foreign origin. It could not manage without them.
It's true that we need to limit illegal immigration, but lack of labor is a real problem that concerns businesses. Targeted professional immigration has become essential. Without it, many things would no longer work in Germany.
Many employers' federations have spoken out against the far right during the election campaign, dropping their traditional silence on the matter.
So, Shaheen, this report really underlines the importance of foreign workers to the German economy, as well as the labor shortage the country is facing. Yet, the AfD wants to make it significantly more complicated to immigrate. How exactly do they hope to address this issue of the labor shortage?
Well, I don't think AfD has a real plan to address it. And I'm not too worried about what AfD thinks about it, because I don't think AfD will be in power, at least not in this election cycle. What I find more concerning is that the AfD policies and views around immigration have sort of contaminated the rest of the political spectrum, and that even candidate Chancellor Merz, during the campaign, has somewhat moved towards the AfD when it comes to immigration. You may remember that 3 weeks ago, he has passed a resolution in the Bundestag with AfD votes committing to address the immigration challenges. So I think that language is concerning, not so much from the AfD, but it's concerning when it's coming from the mainstream parties that also seem to be compelled to consider immigration as something that needs to be limited rather than increased.
One final question here, and this is perhaps getting at the crux of the issue. The economic downturn is what has brought many voters to turn to the far right, to turn to the AfD. So the stakes are extremely high for the next government to try and reverse that tide. They have to deliver better outcomes for German households, who, according to Bloomberg Economics as well, are 2,500 euros worse off per year than they could have been if the economy had gone at a different trajectory after the pandemic. Do you see that happening with a CDU coalition leading the country as expected?
I think it's going to be very difficult. The international economic environment is extremely challenging for Germany. So I think this new chancellor and this new government and this new coalition will have a very difficult task. There's really also urgency, given what is happening in the United States and the looming reciprocal tariffs that the Trump administration wants to introduce. The idea and the notion of reciprocal tariffs could escalate tariffs on a broader range of manufacturing and industrial goods coming from Germany and have a very significant impact on the German economy. So I think there's real urgency for this new German government to act, both for Germany's sake, but also for Europe's sake. Going back to the issues you've mentioned about common borrowing and defense that require a common European decision.
Shahin Vallee, you are a senior research fellow at the German Council on Foreign Relations. Thank you very much for sharing your insights with us.
My pleasure.
That's all for this week. Ahead of the federal elections in Germany, you can watch all of our previous episodes by searching for the People and Profit show on France24.com and on the podcast platform of your choice. In the meantime, thank you for watching. And stay tuned.
Sierra Leone's islands are sinking.
When the water comes, it destroys what we have, our property, as you can see on the video. It destroys a lot. Almost everything is destroyed when it happens.
In Freetown, makeshift homes emerge and stretch onto the water.
The fastest growing slum in terms of population is Kube community. You know, currently the population is about 40,000.
Sand extraction and urban sprawl are paving the way for disaster.
I'm really worried about it because we faced this problem many times before.
But some locals are fighting back, replanting mangroves and reinforcing dams are part of the daily battle for the future.
But I know they do this because me, you don't uphold me, but for other people and future generations, we don't uphold it too.
Don't miss our report from Sierra Leone on France 24.